To just accept, well, this is the way it is, to me is doing an injustice of medical care. There's no such thing as a bad patient population. I would also probably start there. I don't believe in bad, good labeling people. You may have challenges that are unique. You may have barriers that you need to get creative to overcome.
Welcome back to the NCCHCA podcast. I'm Leslie Walcott, and today I'm speaking with Erin Meyer, Director of Behavioral Health at Contegra Health. This year, Contegra received HRSA's prestigious Quality Award, signaling performance in the top couple of percentiles of all FQHCs across the country. I'll ask Erin about that, as well as her CHC's recent rebranding, from Gaston to Contegra. Let's start with the basics. What exactly is a quality award, I asked. What is it measuring?
Yes, so my understanding is that they're kind of looking at just depression screening and follow-up. A PHQ-9 would probably be what our look is, and that's very common.
Providers, or others sometimes, as you will hear shortly, screen patients for the presence and severity of depression symptoms. The PHQ-9 is the 9-question depression questionnaire from the larger patient health questionnaire.
But that follow-up piece, so if you get a positive, are you following up with them? Are you rescreening them? ESPERT, screening brief intervention and referral to treatment, that's kind of an intervention that is utilized with substance abuse. And so are you engaging with ESPERT? Are you documenting ESPERT activities? Our medication-assisted treatment program, did we increase our patient volume? And then what is that patient volume? Does it meet a certain metric? So I think those are just like the basics, and I'm sure there's a lot more. We have a phenomenal quality team that pulls data out of all sorts of places.
In addition to good data tracking, Contegra Health embraces whole person care, which is when providers try to meet the broad array of a person's needs and address barriers that may impact their health, but which may not be the main reason that they came in seeking care.
We would not be able to have ever received this award had it not been, one, our leadership, our CEO or COO, really wrapping their head around whole person care and believing that it's just as important, and then trickling down to our medical director, Dr. Oklu, and I work very closely together, and she's one of the biggest champions for integrated model of care and ensuring that when we're addressing things, we're not just addressing it in medical term, we're addressing it in medical and behavioral health.
Then Erin told me about a decision Contegra made about how and how frequently they would screen patients.
We sat around a table and decided that we would coin a term called the EVRA, Every Visit Risk Assessment. And so there's quite a bit of debate. Do we do this once a month, twice a year, once a year, every week? And we decided that in order to capture and really understand our patients, and knowing that some of our patients really only came to the clinic twice a year, you had to do it every time. And these were going to be questions that not just behavioral health providers, but that medical professionals, medical assistants, the front office, our leadership was comfortable knowing and asking. And they do a lot of the screening in the clinic for us. Some of those initial screenings are done by the medical assistants, not necessarily a behaviorist.
Though Contegra's quality award was for 2019, we know they continued to maintain their high quality standards throughout 2020. So I asked Erin how they did that amidst a pandemic and a rebranding.
The work that they are doing every day, the things that we're asking, the important changes that we make often, especially during COVID. I mean, all of the work and effort that went into making sure, like, these components weren't lost. Just because we have to deliver services differently, we're not going to lose screening. We're not going to lose MAT engagement. We're not going to stop ESPRT. So it took quite a bit of comfort to have a medical provider working in their home and a behavioral health working in their home, but also doing that ESPRT and locking in on that patient who needs services who also may be in their home. We have always operated on utilizing the screening brief intervention referral to treatment. We define that far more than just substance abuse. So although it is primarily used for that, it's also a great way to just look at what integrated model of care or what diabetes can be doing or what our HIV case managers can do.
But Erin reminds us, screenings only matter when you measure and evaluate their results.
When we set out to do this, to grow our department, when there were 5, when there were 10, when there were 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, the integrity of what we do was so important to not just myself, but the team, the leaders in this organization. And so we were going to give high quality behavioral health integrated services, whether that be in a traditional medical home setting, whether it be in an outreach location or a school. So our screening metrics are really important. Being able to accurately diagnose problems is very important. I believe that you want to track those as well. One, because it gives you a better understanding of the areas and gaps that you need to fill in. Two, are the services that you're doing aligning with good quality care and improvement? So I can throw 20,000 screeners all day long at the clinical providers and say, do these, but if we're not measuring the success of them or the improvements or even the decline, then are we really putting forth something that you can say is helping?
Though Contegra's quality award was for 2019, we know they continued to maintain their high quality standards throughout 2020. So I asked Erin how they did that amidst a pandemic and a rebranding.
It was, but I would hope that when we reflect back on, 2020, that we would see that we continued to maintain. COVID has been such a unique experience. It is a collective trauma. I will personally say that as a clinical provider, it's one of the more challenging times because you're walking the same walk as many of your patients in a lot of ways. You're dealing with struggling to get into your own doctor or your kids' schooling or childcare or elderly parents. So, you know, in that sense, I think it came down to making sure that we were taking care of ourselves and really driving that factor home that this is a challenge. I don't think that you can sugarcoat this one. I don't think that you can make it all in a bow and pretty, that it's tough and that showing up to work could be tough. And so if you don't acknowledge that and you don't support, and I think that you will start to lose some of that quality and not intentionally, of course, but I do think that it starts to happen.
Despite the many challenges presented by the pandemic, there were a few outcomes that were unexpected and even positive, what Erin calls golden nuggets. I'll let her tell you about one of those.
As the months went on, you started to get more comfortable and you started to also see some of the benefits. And in the FQHC world, we have really struggled for telehealth to be something that was recognized. And speaking from a very large FQHC, getting psychiatric care and putting that into your model is tough. And so we had and continue to have several providers who are providing psychiatric med management, but when you are in multiple counties, And prior to telehealth, you really were only serving those who were surrounding your area. So if we had someone in Gaston County, really it was just the Gaston patients who were getting served. With COVID and some of the allowances, and now the continued allowances and the conversations to change the policies and procedures, our psychiatric providers can serve our Lexington and Davidson sites. They can serve our new sites in Kings Mountain or Boiling Springs or what have you without leaving Gaston. And so we really have, I would say, equalized the playing field for all of our patients to have access to psychiatric care. And I think you've got to continue to look for some of those golden nuggets, those wonderful things that have come out of a really challenging time. And so I'm grateful that we continue to kind of try and see that and find the ways that we are improving healthcare for a lot of our patients. We deal with a lot of pregnant women in our MAT program. Well, we're able to continue a lot of services or even provide services the day after delivery for someone who doesn't want to come into an office, understandably so. We can now get on a virtual visit and have those conversations and talk through anything that needs to be done and counseling or linking in or answering med questions. So it's really, I think, improved a lot of the connections for us with patients. But of course, there was growing pains. There was definitely growing pains.
Mr. Rogers told kids in times of difficulty to look for the helpers. But who helps the helpers? Aaron and Contegra's leadership team also made an effort to make sure their behavioral health providers were taking care of themselves.
But when you're working in mental health or in healthcare, and you're human, so just about everyone, you're going to go through your own trials. You're going to go through your own stumbling blocks. And so in order to show up and do what you need to do, I think you have to be in a good place. It's okay to take care of you. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean you're a poor therapist. If anything, I would say you are doing a better job as a therapist when you can acknowledge that you may need to talk to someone or you may need to develop your own wellness program in that way, whatever that looks like. It's almost like, well, you're called to be here. And I think you've got to dig into that part. And most people, I think, did really well doing that, kind of tapping into, this is when I need to show up. So it's that balance of acknowledging what you need to do for yourself, your family, in order to kind of dig deep and show up. And then get real creative with how you're going to do it. So
I wondered if the organization's shift in name, formerly known as Gaston Family Health Services, they rebranded this year to Contegra Health, added to the difficulty of the pandemic.
Well, fortunately, this has been a long journey, probably well before, you know, it really came to fruition from even some of the senior leaders to do this. There was a lot of thought out process. When we take on a new clinic, a new project, we kind of get a team behind it. And so this was a huge team. This actually was the organization. It was really neat to see. They had, everybody could kind of throw their idea in the pot, so to speak, and help with the renaming. So there was a lot of getting everybody on board prior to the renaming. I think they were very transparent along the way. So this didn't just come up, you know, hey, next month we're going to change. This was, you know, multiple conversations, staff development days, kind of talking through. And I think it always goes back to the why. And if you can really understand, like, why do we need to do this? What is so important? And how will that impact our patients? The Contegra, or at the time, Gaston family, made it exciting. So I think it actually gave people a lot of enthusiasm and energy to want to continue providing those high quality patient care, well thought out, well planned, and then well executed. So it didn't halt anything. Our patients were excited.
The same open sharing of information applies to staff training across Contegra's many physical sites.
So we do lots and lots of education. It's in our orientation. It's in our SIMS lab. We do lunch and learns. Every year we do a kind of round robin to go to all of our clinics to talk about how are we improving the way that we engage with our screening processes. So just recently last year did a really great learning opportunity through SAMHSA to learn about how to incorporate trauma-informed approaches. And so we went and did a whole lunch and learn series for all of our medical clinics to say, like, here's some new ways we should even be asking those PHQ-9 or how we're ushering a patient back to an exam room. Are we being mindful of their experiences?
Finally, I asked Erin if she had any advice for other community health centers or FQHCs who were interested in achieving the quality metrics like Contegra has. And she reminded all of us that as a community health center, you're not alone. There's a vast network of community health centers in North Carolina.
If anyone out there really is stuck or challenged by it, that not just reaching out to their leadership and all of that, again, I think that's really important, the top down, but there's a lot of other FQHCs.
She encourages other health centers to reach out with questions. And we'd like to thank Erin for speaking with us today about Contegra's Quality Award and their rebranding efforts. Yeah.